proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast. In our series about the various biblical vices, we turn our attention to that particular one known as wrath. Strife refers to fractiousness, that is to say, an individual's inordinate desire to put himself forward, even if doing so comes at the expense of others. Strife results from divisions caused when an individual gives way to his wrath. The Greek word for strife, erethea, has an interesting history. It originally appeared in connection with anyone seeking to obtain a political office through dishonest means. Erethea thereby denoted partisanship, albeit partisanship carried to an unethical extreme. Wrath and strife have a close connection with one another. The former creates conditions that bring about the latter's consequences. An incident contained in the 34th chapter of the book of Genesis illustrated one difference between wrath and strife. It starts with an incident in whereby the daughter of Jacob, Dinah, is raped by Shechem, a prince of the Hivites. Her brother Simeon and Levi became upset over this circumstance. They plotted their revenge by asking the Hivites to receive circumcision. Several days later, the brothers attacked the city of Shechem and killed the males. Jacob commented on that deed on his deathbed in Genesis chapter 49. He remarked, quote, "Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel," unquote. The anger felt by Simeon and Levi against the man Shechem motivated them to exercise their wrath against his subjects as well. As is the case with hatred, not all examples of wrath necessarily constituted evil deeds. God often exercised his wrath against those who transgressed against them. David warned in the second psalm about what would happen when the kings of the earth would rebel against the Lord and his Christ. He wrote that, quote, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure," unquote. Paul's epistles warn their readers against manifesting wrath in their lives. In Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle advised that, quote, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice," unquote. He instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that, quote, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting," unquote. The fomentation of strife has detrimental effects for those who engage in that practice. According to the third chapter of James' epistle, quote, "Confusion and every evil work," unquote, accompany strife. Exercising patience can counteract the manifestation of wrath. In the first chapter of his epistles, James advised his readers to, quote, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath," unquote. In the second chapter of the book of Philippians, Paul exhorted his audience, quote, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory," unquote. Instead, he continued, quote, "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves," unquote. Anger and strife have no place in a Christian's life. God wants Christians to be content with such things as they have, not to manifest anger or strife. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another Radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.